In the Sefer HaChinuch, who lists off the 630 mitzvahs in the order that they appear in the Chumash, the first mitzvah that he lists off is the mitzvah of Piriyah V'Rivya, the Mishnah in the end of Perek HaBol Yevinta, in the middle of Yevamos, records the machlokes Bisham and Bisila. How many children does one have to have in order to fulfill the mitzvah? Whenever there's a machlokes Bisham and Bisila, we usually, Ruba de Ruba, we pass on like the Bisila against the Bishamai. Basilo's opinion is you have to have a son and a daughter. Bishamai say, if you have two sons, you're Yotze, because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had, two sons. He didn't have any daughters. Basilo say you have to have a son and a daughter. The Yerushalmi's version of Basilo is that not only do they agree with Bishamai that if you have two sons is good, even if you only have a son and a daughter is also good. But the Babli's version is not so. Babli's version is that you're only Yotze if you have a son and a daughter. If you have two sons, Bisilov, that you're not Yotze the mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch, we have accepted the Babli's version. Kodem Matan Torah, the Gemara says, the mitzvah period applied to all the non-Jews as well. After Matan Torah, it changed. That's called the mitzvah Shenemra, Kodem Matan Torah V'nishnas. Mitzvah that was given originally to the Nochrim and was repeated at Har Sinai. After Maimon HaSinai, only applies to the Jewish people, no longer applies to the non-Jews. The Pashtus is that the nature of the mitzvah changed. If Koyde Matan Torah, the mitzvah applied to the non-Jews, so the nature of the mitzvah is the way it says in the Chumash, Pru Revu Milos Ores V'Chib Shua, to populate the world. And after Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. It's no longer to populate the world, but rather, it only applies to the Jewish people, but rather to preserve the Jewish tradition, to transmit the Jewish tradition to the next generation. Let's say people have children and they don't educate them. They don't give them a Jewish education. So the Pashtus says that they're not in the fulfillment of the mitzvah peri-ribia. It's no longer a mitzvah just to populate the world. It's to transmit Jewish values to the next generation. The Gemara in the first Perek in Brochas tells a story that appears in Navi, but it's incomplete. Chizkio HaMelech took sick. Yishaya Navi went to Mimavaka Chayla. Usually you come to Mimavaka Chayla, you give him a broch, everything is going to straighten out. So Yishaya Navi tells him, you're going to drop dead because you deserve Misa B'dei Shamayim. Thank you very much. You're going to die because you didn't fulfill Piriviriviya. You didn't have any children. He never got married, didn't have any children. So Chizkio HaMelech says, I have a cheshbon. Why? My cheshbon is that I see Beruach HaKodesh that if I'm going to marry and have children, Menashe, was his son, was Menashe, my son is going to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah, in which case I won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Piriviriviya. The mitzvah, the Pashtus says, Chizkiah HaMelech held the mitzvah peri-ribya is only to transmit Jewish values to the next generation. But if the son is going to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so he won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So that's why he didn't bother to get married. So Yishaya Navi tells him, that's none of your business. The Rebbeinu Shlom instructed you, you have to get married, so you're not allowed to make cheshbonos. So there are three interpretations. If you look in the Ein Yankif, they have commentaries on the side. Every so often there's an Agadah in the Gemara. So if you look in the Ein Yankif, they have Mefarshim that don't appear. The Marsha appears in the back of the Gemara, but the other Mefarshim do not appear. So if you look in the Ein Yankif, not Agadah, the first Perek in Brachos, they have three different biurim, three different explanations. So one explanation is that the whole Svara of Chizkiah HaMelech was not correct. That the nature of the mitzvah peri-ribya is just to populate the world, and even if your children will be up there, but it's already still in fulfillment of the mitzvah. That was exactly the mistake that Chizkiah HaMelech made. He thought the nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Jewish values to the next generation, and it's not true. The other Mefarshim say not so. No, Chizkiah HaMelech's cheshbon was correct. The nature of the mitzvah is, after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah changes. It's no longer just to populate the world, but it's rather to transmit Jewish values to the next generation. But he was told, you're not allowed to paskin shilas based on Ruach HaKodesh. You have a Ruach HaKodesh that your son, if you'll marry and you'll have children, your son Menashe will be an Obed Avodah Zarah, and that's what happened. His son was Menashe HaMelech, was an Obed Avodah Zarah, but you're not allowed to Paskan Shabbos based on Ruach HaKodesh. That's one suggestion. And this question, is that really true? You're not allowed to, if you have Ruach HaKodesh to ascertain the facts of the case, you're not supposed to rely on that. That's questionable. And others say, no, that what Yeshaya HaNavi told them was that your Ruach HaKodesh is cockeyed. It's incorrect. True. Your son Menashe will be an Obed Avodah Zarah, but the end of the story will be that he will do tshuva before he dies. So the end of the day, it'll be that you will transmit Jewish values to the next generation. Your son, at the end, before he dies, will not be an Obed Avodah Zarah. So that's what many assume, like the second and the third pshat, that Chizkiyo HaMelech's Cheshbon is correct. The one is only in fulfillment of the mitzvah, after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah changed. One is only in fulfillment of the mitzvah, Pruravu, no longer applies to non-Jews. Kodem Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was just to populate the world, Milus HaOretz V'chim Shua, and after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Jewish values to the next generation. So the, but either for the, one reason or another, either his Ruach HaKodesh was inaccurate, or because they're not supposed to pass Mashallah based on Ruach HaKodesh, that's why Yeshaya Nabi gave him Musa. The Rambam quotes from the Gemara that Ben Azai didn't fulfill Peri Beribya. The Gemara has two versions in the beginning of Masechta Sota. Is it that he never got married, or is it that he got married and then he got divorced the next day? He said marriage is not for him. So what do you mean? What do you mean marriage is not for you? Everyone has an obligation to fulfill Peri Beribya. So the Rambam writes, if a person is crazy about learning, and he just does want to part from the learning, like Ben Azai, aim biyodo ovon. It's not considered as an avera that he didn't fulfill peer review. Well, why is aim biyodo ovon? Why is that so? If a person just can't stand shaking a lulav, so you have to get used to it. You have to shake a lulav. He doesn't like wearing tefillin, so you have to get used to it. You have to wear tefillin. Why is over here is different? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that in the Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, "Kol hamalamed ben chaver Torah." If someone teaches Torah to someone else's child, let's say there's a yosim, so someone raises a yosim in his home, someone adopts a child. Malalakasu kili yalodo is considered as if he gave birth to that child. What is the significance of making that statement? Malalakasu kili yalodo. So the Chafetz Chaim wrote in several of his writings, and others write. And if you look in Ibn Ezra on the first page, page Aleph, Mefarshim on the side of the page have like that. If a couple is married and they see they can't have children, so if they adopt a child, there's a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah piriviria by educating the child. Malalakasu kili yalodo is considered as if you had, if you adopt a boy and a girl, it's considered as if you partially fulfilled the mitzvah of piriviria. More correct is that you should have children of your own and transmit Jewish values to them. And if you're not able to, so Ben Azai was not just a Tamacha, Ben Azai was a Malamed Torah Lachem. He was teaching Torah to others. He was teaching Torah in public. So because he was fulfilling the mitzvah partially, like Malamed Ben Chavera Torah, Malakasu Kili Yalodo, so he was in partial fulfillment of the mitzvah of Peri Berivya, except that he should have fulfilled it completely. So that's where we say, if he just rubs him the wrong way, his personality is such that he can't just get married, and he is in partial fulfillment of the mitzvah, so we say that's good enough for him. So, in Shulchan Aruch it says, based on Gemara, it says, Kofen al mitzvah of marriage also. If a guy does want to get married, years and years, keeps on getting older and older.
A woman who's willing to marry him.
Right, so then you have no right to force the girl to marry him, but if a girl's prepared to marry him, then you force him. But they say there are more quotes from earlier Poskim. There is a Gemara at the end of Cheskas HaBatim and Bava Basra, the very end of Cheskas HaBatim. Gemara says, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so they made a din, when you build a house, you should leave Amar Lama opposite the front door, that you shouldn't plaster the wall, Zecher L'Churban, and Gemara says you shouldn't have elaborate meals, Bizman Ezra, only on Pesach night. You shouldn't have very fancy meals with very fancy silver dishes and many courses in the meal, it's not right. Because of the Churban. So then the Gemara says that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, a suggestion was made that we shouldn't eat any meat and we shouldn't drink any wine because we're no longer able to bring meat as korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash and we don't do nisach hayayin anymore. So the Gemara says that it doesn't make sense to institute such a gzeira because then you can't drink water because on Sukkot you used to have nisach hamayim. then you can't eat bread, cake, or cookies because he is the korban mincha, who was made from flour. So they never made that gzera. Then the Gemara says the suggestion was made that we shouldn't have any children. We're going to have children, so the Romans will have more Jews to kill. The Nazis will just have more Jews to kill. So we shouldn't have any children. But then the Gemara says it's a gzera shein roi batzi b'cholam lamad. Well, a boy falls in love with a girl. What are you going to tell him? He can't get married. So it's a gzera. It's too difficult to do. So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes those who say, but really more correct is they should have made such a gzera. But it's a gzerish and rebati b'chalam lamabot. So if a person today, after the churban bayis sheni, a person today doesn't want to get married, so we wouldn't be koifer. Because more correct is, he's doing the right thing. He really, really shouldn't have any children.
That would be a gzerish that would be okay, for everybody, and that would never say.
Oh, so Tosfos is bothered with that kasha. Tosfos says, what do you mean? We should have made it, we should make a gzerish that no one should have any children. But you're right, the mitzvah peribiribi. So Tosfos says what it means in the Gemara was that you shouldn't have more than a son and a daughter. I have 9 children, so once I had a son and a daughter, I should have stopped. I shouldn't have had more. That's how Tosfos interprets. The Ramah does not. The Ramah's quoting the Mordechai that you're not koyfe b'zman hazeh peribiribia. You're not koyfe him to get married at all, even for this to have the son and the daughter. So the Ramah is obviously quoting Rishon who did not agree with Tosfos that there would have been exer the rabbanon to be oike legamre. So what's the issue? So that's what the Meforshim point out. The Taz has that Chiddush in 3 different places in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. The Chachamim have a right to make Gzeret Rabban. He quotes from the Bach, from his father-in-law. Chachamim have a right to make Gzeret Rabban, even Bakira's Dov Men HaTorah. They say, when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, you should not blow Shofar. And when Gershon is Gar Berev Pesach, should not bring the Korban Pesach that year. You should bring Pesach Sheni. And if you have a beged shel pishton, a linen garment, 4 kind of garment, you shouldn't put on tzitzis. So how are you allowed to wear the garment? You mevatel a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, yesh kech b'yach hachamim, lakadot min ator, b'shev yal tasa. The chacham have authority to tell you not to fulfill a mitzvah. They have no authority to allow you to violate an avera. Let's say the rabbi will announce, in order to maintain Jewish identity, those who live in the suburbs should drive to shul on Shabbos. So that's an avera b'kum b'yaseh. So that the rabbis do not have authority to do. But they do have authority to say, don't fulfill a mitzvah, don't shake a lulav this year because you're going to shake a lulav. You may forget and you'll carry on Shabbos. And that'll be a big malachim. So what was Tosfos' kasha in the first place? Tosfos says, how can the Gemara have had a havamina to make a gzeira that you shouldn't get married, have any children? But it's in violation of the mitzvah purim. What's the problem? But it's the yishkoach laka b'shevi al tasim. So the Meforshim point out that Tosfos obviously thinks like that Taz, who quotes the Bach, that even though Yeshkach b'achachom imelak adom meratar b'sheib altasa, but they have no right to be oike legamre. The Taz quotes from the Bach, why did they only prohibit it blowing shofar when Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Zereshem b'yavirena, maybe he'll carry. Why don't they prohibit blowing shofar, period, on every Rosh Hashanah? Because Shem Yishak and Kleshi, you're not allowed to play a musical instrument. So they should have prohibited it. It should never blow shofar. It's Yontif. So the Taz quotes from his father-in-law from the Bach, the Chachamim have authority to be oiker mitzvah once in a while. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, they say, don't blow shofar. But they're going to say, don't blow shofar, period. Never, ever on Rosh Hashanah, because it's Yontav, Shem Yisak, and Klishir. They're oiker legamri, a mitzvah, and so they have no right to do that. So you look in the Rishonim, Rabbi David Cohen from Flatbush, from Gvul Yabetz, has a whole sefer on this. The title of the sefer, I think, is Hataz HaYodua. So he quotes all the Marmakams, all the Rishonim who say one way or the other. All the Rishonim take a stand on this at some place or another, whether the Beferish like the Taz, the Beferish against the Taz. So this Tosfos, in the end of Cheskas HaBatim, Tosfos says there never was a Halamina that they should make Gzera the Rabbanon to do away with Piri Beribya. That's a Pasuk in the Chumash. They really meant, the Gzera would have meant, after you have a son and a daughter, you should call it quits. You shouldn't have any more children than 2. So that Tosfos apparently thinks like the Taz is Svar. That you have no ability to make gzera to be oikei mitzvah legamre. And the Ramah quotes the Mordechai that you're not koyfer on peribiribia b'zman hazeh, because more correct is that they should have made such a gzera. No one should have any children. Yeah, so that's a beferish and machlekes.
Would we still apply that Ramah even if the person was not doing peribiribia for other reasons? He wasn't doing it because of the churban bayis sheni, he was doing it because he just didn't want to have any children.
Yeah. Because more correct is that we should have all followed his practice, yeah. So this says in Shulchan Aruch that if one, this says in the first page in Eben Ezra, and the Chafetz Chaim has, the Stipel has an essay where he quotes the Chafetz Chaim as writing this, that if a couple is married, they have no children, they should adopt, and who one is Malamed ben Chaver Torah, Malal Akosav Kilu Yalodah. The Gemara there in the end of Habol Yemimta has a machleg Zabiach and Reish Lakish. What's the din? A non-Jewish person had children before he converted, and then he converts to become Jewish. Is he in fulfillment of Piruv Rivya with the children that he had ben Ochri Yusuf? So Reish Lakish says no, because Gershon is a guy cutting Shinala Damas, he's no longer related to his children. Al Pidin, genetically they're his children, biologically his children, but according to Halacha he's no longer related. And we pass like Rabbi Yechanan, that since originally when he was a Nochri, he was related to the children, even though there is a din of Gershon is got cut and Shinala Dami, but a little bit he still is related to the children. It's difficult why. Really, more correct should have been like Reish Lakish, but we pass like Rabbi Yechanan that one is Yotze. So the Gemara says, you're only Yotze if it's a Nochri, Hoyla Banim and Nochri Yusa. If it's an Ebed Knaini, Hoyla Banim, when he was an Ebed Knaini, Ebed Ein Lo Yachas, that the Ebed is not related to his children at all. So he was never related in the first place. So after he becomes Nishtachrer, then he has to marry and he has to have children now. He's even Rabbi Yechanan will not say that he's Yotze with the children that he had before. That's the Gemara. So when the Rama quotes that Gemara, that the Gershon is Gair is in fulfillment of the children, the mitzvah with the children that he had ben Ochri Yusuf. So the Rambam says, "Ben is Gair who ubon avima." He converted, and the children converted also. So the Magen Mishnah in his commentary on the side of the Rambam says, the Rambam understood the Gemara that how can you say you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah Piruv Rivya by having non-Jewish children? It must be that they also converted. If the non-Jewish children didn't convert, you can't be yotze in the mitzvah with non-Jewish children. So the Magen Mishnah understood the Rambam that the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. Koidem Matan Torah, the mitzvah applied to non-Jews just to populate the world. After Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah is not milos oros v'chibshua, not to populate the world, but rather to transmit Jewish value to the next generation. To see to it that Judaism will be passed on to the next generation. So that's why it's only Nizgaruhu Banavima. You look in Shulchan Aruch, though, the Vilna Goen and the Marami Prague before him, the Beis Shmuel, in his commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezra quotes Marami Prague and the Bir Agro and Simonov, they understood the Rambam not so. They understood the Rambam as saying, even if the children also converted, if only the father converted and the children are still not Jewish, then for sure the father is in fulfillment of Piruv Rivya. But even if the children also converted, so it's twice Gershon is God cut Shinala. The father converted, so he moved away from the children. Children converted, so they moved away from the father. So it's twice cut Shinala Dami, twice they're separated from each other. So you still say that he's Yotze the mitzvah. But if the children didn't convert, for sure you're Yotze the mitzvah. So they're of the opinion that the mitzvah after Matan Torah is the same as was Kodem Matan Torah, just to populate the world. And you're Yotze with non-Jewish children. Except that now the mitzvah is only obligatory on the Jewish people, no longer on the non-Jews. Not that the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. But many others disagree. They understood the Rambam, no, that the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. Kodem Matan Torah, the mitzvah was just milos ha'aretz to populate the world. And after Matan Torah is ganz different. The Minchas Chinuch writes a Dover Pashut, let's say a non-Jewish man had children from a Jewish woman. A non-Jewish man had children from a Jewish woman. So the children are Jewish, but they're not related to him. There's no kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. And then the non-Jewish man converted. Is he in fulfillment of Piruv Rivya with the children that he had before he converted? So he says, no, he was never related to them. Or the reverse, a Jewish man has children from a non-Jewish woman. And then the children convert. So he says, no, he was never related to them in the first place. We pass like Rabbi Yechanan, if it's a non-Jewish man had a non-Jewish wife and he had non-Jewish children. And then he converted and the children converted. So since originally he was related, Al-Pidin, not just biologically, genetically related to the children. He was related, Al-Pidin, to the children. So even after he converts, he say, Kut and Shinala Dami. You don't say 100% Kut and Shinala Dami for all purposes. So you say, Yotze Piruv Rivya. But if he was an Eved and he had children, Eved Ein Lo Yachas, he was never related in the first place to the children. If he was Jewish and the wife was not Jewish, he was not Jewish and the wife was Jewish, he was never related to the children halachically in the first place. said that even if everybody converts later on, the Minchas Chinuch says that Dovah Poshut, he wouldn't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Perei Rivya. He was never related. The Mishnah. Yeah.
He did what required.
The result is good, but he's not related to them.
Right.
Right. The Gemara says you're only fulfillment of Perei Rivya if you're related to the children of Pialocha. So Reish Lakish says Gershon is got Kodesh and Aldami not related. Rabbi Yechanan somehow feels that even though there is a rule, Gershon is got Kodesh and Aldami, your Kosher Leidus, two brothers who convert are Kosher Leidus. Because it said, Kotin Shinoel Adomi, Eminatur, brother and the sister who convert, allowed to marry each other. It's only been the Rabbanah, they're not allowed to. But for the purpose of Perei Rivya, we don't apply Kotin Shinoel Adomi. Why not? It's a little unclear. Now, the Abel Soloveitchik has an explanation in the notes on the Shurim at the end of Chorus. The same Gemara appears from the end of Perek Abol Yaminta, appears also in the end of Masech Chorus. The Rabbi Yechanan holds with respect to this mitzvah, you don't apply the rule of Kotin Shinoel Adomi. The Mishnah in the Yevamis has the Machlekes HaTanaim where the women are Mechuyev in Perei Rivya. We pass on Halacha, a woman is not Mechuyev in Perei Rivya. Why not? Why? Peru Revu is in the plural. So the Pashut, one Tana says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to Adam and Chava, to both of them, and he said Peru Revu. So that was Kodem Matan Torah. So Halacha Matan Torah should be the same. It should be both on the men and the women. So we pass on, the Gemara explains why, the Mishnah explains why. We pass on, there's no Peru Revu for women. So the Meshech Chachma has his famous explanation. He says, years ago, it wasn't so uncommon that a woman would die in childbirth. So the Torah can't say, you're mechuyev to have children, even if you drop dead. How can you say a person is mechuyev to... It's not from the Gimel Averis HaChmuris, that is Yehorek Val Yavar. You tell a man, you're mechuyev to have children. His life is not in danger. But to tell a woman that she's mechuyev to have children, she may die in childbirth, so she can say, I don't want to have children. I don't want to die. I don't want to put myself into sakan. That's his suggestion. Whatever the Hezbollah is, that's the din. The women are not Mechuyev in Perei Rivya. On the first page in Eben Ezer, the Beis Shmuel points out that there is a machlokes, two opinions in Tosfos, but the two opinions are not in the same Tosfos. One is in a Tosfos in Gittin, and one is in a Tosfos in Chagiga. Women are true. Women are not obligated in the mitzvah Peru Revu that appears in Chumash. Maybe women are obligated in the mitzvah Medirei Kabbalah of Shebis. The Pasuk says in the Novi Yeshaya, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world that it shouldn't be desolate and empty. He wants the world to be populated with people. So maybe, although women are not mechuyev in Perei Rivya, maybe they're mechuyev to get married and marry a person who's able to have children. Mitam Shevis. So what do you gain by saying women are potter from Perei Rivya? The mechuyev and Shevis anyway boils down to the same thing. So Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, and they have on the side of, in his Chuvis, and on the side of the page in Eben Ezra, they suggest maybe there's a difference between the two. Maybe Perei Rivya, we pass like Basilo, you have to have a son and a daughter. Maybe Shevis, you're in fulfillment of Shevis if you have one child. You've replaced yourself in the world. So maybe, let's say a woman had one child from a previous marriage. Now she wants to remarry. She wants to marry a man who's not able to have any children. So maybe that's fine. She's not Mechuyev in Perei Rivya. And Shevis, she already fulfilled. She had one child. But if a girl is able to have children, is going to marry a man who's not able to have children. So right now, she's madly in love with him, so she says she loves him so much, she doesn't care if she has children or not. Later on, when she'll be 65 years old, she's going to have charata. Why she never, well, she should have married someone who could have had children. She's going to have charata. But when she's 20 years old, she's madly in love, so she thinks that the love will last forever. But forgetting about that, it may be, psychologically, it may be a bad choice. But halachically, many hold that it's not right. That maybe women are mechuyev in Shevis, even though they're mechuyev in Perei Rivya.
If Meshech Chachma was correct that we can't be mitzvah someone who's a sakana, it wouldn't even make sense to be mitzvah her in Shevis and Dibrei Kabbalah.
Could be. It could be. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a Tosfos in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosfos talks about this, whether women are mechuyev in Shevis, whether Eved Kenayni is mechuyev in Shevis. Eved Kenayni can't fulfill the mitzvah of Perei Rivya because the children won't be Mesiach HaSacharov. Shvul Lechem Poyah Machamara, Amadam Machamara, Eved Ein Lo Yachas. But maybe, nonetheless, maybe the Eved is Mechuyev in Shevis. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel has, there's one line in Tosis, where Tosis says, that if a person is unable to fulfill Pirei V'Rivya due to circumstances, he's an anus, but he's still mechuyev to have children because of Shabbos. So he asks, but you just said, Oynes Rachmana Patre, he's an anus. So just like he's part of Pirei V'Rivya, he should be part of Shabbos as well. So he develops an idea, take it or leave it. He makes a suggestion to knock sense into the line in the Taisus. That maybe the mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya is a mitzvah ben Adam LaMakom to transmit Judaism to the next generation. Maybe Shabbos is a mitzvah ben Adam LaChaveiro. So maybe even though Oynes Rachmana Patre, maybe Oynes Rachmana Patre only applies to mitzvah ben Adam LaMakom. He's mechuyev to see to it that the Jewish tradition is transmitted to the next generation. He should have his own children. So Oynes Rachmana Patre. But as far as Shabbos, that maybe the nature of the mitzvah has been on Mahavero to populate the world, people should be able to help each other and solve all the world's problems. And maybe in mitzvah has been on Mahavero, maybe you have no right to say Onesot Manapacha. A suggestion. Because he has this line in Tesis, that's what it sounds like in Tesis. The Gemara has a machlekes, what if one had a son and a daughter and they died? Is he in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya? So we paskin, no, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. That the mitzvah is not just to have children. The mitzvah is to see to it that you have children who are able to have children. So let's say one has children, and the child is just not going to get married. Psychological problems, or whatever it is, physically, they won't be able to have children on their own. So then he's not Yotze Pirei V'Rivya. You have to have a son and a daughter who themselves will be able to have children. That's how we pass them, that if the children die, so one is not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. It should be a consideration. So we should say no more Shabbos. We're causing problems. That is quite a consideration. Yeah. The other opinion of the Gemara, which is not accepted, is that as long as one has a son and a daughter, he's in fulfillment of Pirei V'Rivya, even if they die. So what did he accomplish? He's not transmitting. They died as infants. So what did he gain by having children? Nothing was accomplished by that. So the Gemara explains an interesting idea, that the nature of the mitzvah Pirei V'Rivya is to hasten the coming of Mashiach. We all have an obligation to hasten the coming. How can we control coming? Baruch Shalom is in control. We don't have the key to Mashiach. So the Gemara says, we have a tradition, Ein ben David bo, the Melech HaMashiach will only come, at Sheikh Lukanu Shamashiach Baguf. There's a chamber of heaven that's called Guf, Gimel Vav Pei. And all the Jewish souls are in that chamber. And every time another baby is born, another neshama is born into the world, brought into the world. And when all of those souls will be born into the world, then Moshiach will come. Question: after all the souls are going to be born into the world, so there won't be any more Jews. There won't be any more Jewish souls to bring into the world. So the Mekubalim say we'll start recycling. That's Gilgal neshamas. We'll start recycling. Yeah. So the Arizal has a whole comment about the recycling and the generation when Mashiach comes. The first generation of Jewish people was the Dor HaMidbar, right after Maimon HaSinai. And the generation of the Dor HaMidbar, the Svarim say that the women were on a higher level than the men. Because the women didn't want to worship the Egel, only the men were interested. And the women, the Meraglim were men. So the Mefarshim say if they would have sent women, they wouldn't have given an improper report. And the B'nai Slavchot wanted to get a share in Eretz Yisrael. The men couldn't care less. The women wanted to fulfill. The women were more Zionistic than the men. So when the souls will start to be recycled after the first generation, after Mashiach will come, so the women in that generation will be at a higher madriga than the men. So the Arizal interpreted the Pasuk in Navi like that. The generation when Mashiach will come, the cave of Tesoiv of Gebem. So the women will be a higher madrega than the men. Okay, interesting. So this we agree to that idea. But we don't agree that that's the nature of the mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya. If the children die, you're not yotzei. But we do agree that every time there's another baby born, this hastens the coming of Mashiach. But we just don't accept that view, that that's the nature of the mitzvah.
Then
it's okay. If the children died, but they left, let's say, I had a son and a daughter, and the son had a daughter, and the daughter had a son. So they replaced themselves, so that's all good. That's okay. What if I had a son and a daughter, and each one had a son, and they both died? Now I'm left with two grandchildren, but they're both grandsons, they're not granddaughters. So that's, machleik is the details. If I'm still able to have children, me and my wife can still have children, So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, think one, machlekes Tosfos in the Rambam. Are you still in fulfillment of the mitzvah? Because you had a son and a daughter, both died, and each one left a child, but they left two granddaughters or two grandsons. So that's a machlekes. I think Tosfos, it is good. Each one replaced himself, and the Rambam says, no, you have to have a grandson and a granddaughter. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva, who comments on the pasuk in Koheles, "Babekas v'azarecha v'leirav atanach yodecha." The farmer should plant in the morning; he should plant in the afternoon. Ke'encha yodeh, you can never tell which will grow better. Maybe the stuff you planted in the morning will grow better. Maybe the stuff you planted in the afternoon will grow better. So Rabbi Akiva says it about teaching students, that even if you had a whole successful career teaching Torah for many years, Rabbi Akiva had so many students, you should continue to teach after, you shouldn't retire, if he's still healthy enough to give shiur, you should still continue. And chedei, you never know which students will be the ones who are going to transmit Judaism to the next generation. And he had in his own, he had all these thousands of students, they all died, and then he had to start teaching Torah all over again to the few Tanoim, and they transmitted Torah to the next generation. So that's considered the mitzvah of Dibre Kabbalah. That doesn't say in Chumash, it's Nevi Maksuvim is called Dibre Kabbalah. This pasuk is in Koheles, that even after one has already had a son and a daughter, he should try to have more. Unlimited. No limit to how many you have. So after the Second World War, where so many Jews were killed by the Goyim in Europe, so the Rabbanim recommend that everyone should have a big family. Everyone should try to have a big family to replace all those who lost their lives. Yeah, is there any limit? Some want to say the mitzvah period is to have a son and a daughter. So they're about to have another son and another daughter. Others say no, to have a bigger family. So the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, there is such a concept, Le'er Batanach Yadecha, but let's say his first wife died, and he's going to have to marry another wife, and it's going to be, the second wife is going to, there's going to be a big gap in age between the children from the first wife, children from the second wife, and he's afraid that it's going to cause friction in the family, because the children are not going to be the same age. So it says in the Ramah, if there's going to be friction, so you don't have to observe this mitzvah. Why? You have to observe mitzvahs even if there's friction. So the Beis Shmuel, in his commentary on the side of the page, quotes the Ramban from the Melchamas. There are not Gemara and Yevamas. That's where the Gemara is about Rebbe Akiva. All the thousands of students, Rebbe Akiva's students died. So the Ramban writes in Melchamas, this is not a mitzvah in Torah. It's not a mitzvah even with the Rabban. It's a Midas Chasidus. So wherever you're faced with a Midas Chasidus, if it's going to cause friction, you're not mechuyev to have the minus chassidus. Let's say a couple has a son and a daughter. The husband wants to have more children. The husband doesn't have labor pains. And the wife doesn't want to have. She suffered enough with the first two. She doesn't want to have any more. Nisht is this. If she doesn't want, he shouldn't pressure his wife. She doesn't want to. So you're not mechuyev to observe the minus chassidus. The Minchas Chinuch raises a question. If, let's say, a person is a mamzer. Unfortunately, let's say a woman remarries without a get. And she has a child from the second husband, the second child. The child is a mamzer. So how can the mamzer marry? The mamzer can either marry another mamzeres or he can marry a giyoris. He's permitted to marry a giyoris. Even though he's permitted to marry a giyoris, that's heta gomer, but the children will all be mamzer. That's a mishnah in the end of Kiddushin. Whenever yesh Kiddushin, ein avera, he's not violating any avera. A mamzeres is permitted to marry a mamzer is permitted to marry a giyoris, but the children, the children will be mamzer. So the Minhas Chinuch is not sure. Is there a mitzvah piruvivya? Is the mamzer obligated to get married and have children who are going to be mamzer? Just going to create problems for them. So maybe he's not mechuyev to observe piruvivya. So we live in a generation where it became possible to use artificial insemination. So what's the din? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a fantastic chiddush. The first chiddush has been accepted by most, and the second chiddush is very questionable. The first chiddush is, let's say a woman has artificial insemination. A woman is married, she has artificial insemination from somebody other than her husband. Or a single girl has artificial insemination from her brother. So is the child a mamzer or not? So Rav Soloveitchik used to speak in public about this. He said he's not sure. It could be the child is a mamzer. Yosef Engel, who died 100 years ago already, wrote then about artificial insemination. He thinks the child is a mamzer. even through artificial insemination, even though nobody violated any Aveira of Gilei Arayis, but the child has a father and a mother who couldn't have had Tefisas Kiddushin. So that's a mamzer. So Leitchik said he's not sure. Then Rav Moshe Feinstein published a tshuva that since they didn't have any relations together, the child is not a mamzer. So Rav Soloveitchik said, let's not, in when he gave the shema, said, let's not delve into the explanation. Rav Moshe said, it's not a mamzer, it's not a mamzer. He didn't want to analyze whether he's right or wrong. He said, we'll accept what Rav Moshe said. It's a big tzaddik, we'll accept what he said, it's not a mamzer. But then Rav Moshe had a further chiddush. He said, what if a man is a mamzer and he marries a gioris, let's say, the heta goma? So they're going to practice birth control, they'll never have any children. Then when he wants to have children, he wants to fulfill peribarivya, so then they'll do artificial insemination. So Moshe said, even though that not only does artificial insemination not create mamzeris, even if the father is a mamzer, but his wife is artificially inseminated from his zera habal, that mamzeris will not be transmitted. That's a chiddush, very big chiddush. The first one is a less of a chiddush, that if a woman has artificial insemination from her brother, from another man other than a husband, that the child doesn't create mamzeris. Okay, here you're not creating mamzeris. Here the father, the donor of the zera, is a mamzer. So Rav Moshe had a chiddush that the child will not be a mamzer. So some people do like that. A mamzer marries a gioris, he's permitted to. Then they practice birth control. They don't want to have any children normally. It's a miserable life. Every time you want to be with your wife, you have to practice birth control, and then when you're interested in having a baby, then you have artificial insemination. The whole world is crazy. That's not normal. But the mamzer has to do something. So if one follows Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's possible for the mamzer to have children. The heter, and the children will not be mamzer. The question is he in fulfillment of the mitzvah, peri-rivia, if you have artificial insemination? Maybe one is only... The Gemara said one is only a fulfillment of the mitzvah peri-rivia if the father is related to the children. Let's say an Eved Kenani had children when he was an Eved Kenani. Eved ein lo yachas al pi din, even though genetically these are clearly his children, but al pi din is not related. So then when the Eved becomes nishtachrer, he's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah peri-rivia because he was never related to those children. So that's the question. Is a man who has children through artificial insemination with a woman, are those children related to him? That was a big machlekes years ago. Let's say a kohen. That happens normally. A kohen is married to his wife, and they're not able to have children together unless they have a doctor's assistance. They have to have artificial insemination from the husband to the wife. They can't have without a doctor's assistance. So Shlomo Zalman paskin that the children are related to the father. They're kohanim. They can duchen. And years ago, it was not so muskan b'chaladeh. Others were of the opinion, with sources from Gemara, that the children are not related to the father. They can't duchen. I remember I once spoke PUA, the Institute of Eretz Yisrael, to help people who have problems with fertility problems. So every year they have on Parsha Shmois, when you read about Shifra PUA, they always have a public day of learning, and they have different speakers. Every 25 minutes they have another speaker. They have 25 speakers, and they publish all the talks that they gave. So it happened, I think, twice. I was in Eretz Yisrael for YU. So the Machon Pur was having their talk, so they asked me to participate. So on one occasion, I was speaking about this. So after I said, there was a big machlokes. So someone came over to me very indignant. At that time, he's a kohen. He had two little children, two little boys. He said, what do you mean? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman told me my children can duchen. I said, okay. So your children can duchen. I'm just saying there are others that don't agree. So then I met him 10 years later. The children are already bar mitzvah, and he comes to me and he says, he's wondering whether they can duchen. He already forgot that he was upset. He said, Shlomo Zalman told him his children can duchen. He says, he's reading the literature. He sees that it's not so pushing. I didn't want to tell him anything. Okay. So that's a question. So that's a question. If the children are not mesiachas after the father through artificial insemination, so then you're not gaining anything. You're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah peri-rivia. So that's the Minchas Chinuch wasn't sure. Is a mamzer mechuyev to fulfill peri-rivia? Unfortunately, we have a lot of people who know that they're mamzer. So are they mechuyev to marry a gioris and have children who are going to be mamzerim? Or are they mechuyev to do this crazy thing to have artificial, to have birth control, to have artificial insemination? That's a question. From what age on is one obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Rivia? So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says you don't say when the child becomes by mitzvah, he has to do all the mitzvahs right away. Only from the age of 18 on. Why the age of 18? So on the first page in Ebenezer, the Beis Shmuel explains, you're going to tell me he has to get married at 13, he's going to ruin his whole life. That doesn't fit in. For a 13-year-old to say he has to get married doesn't fit in. Today, it doesn't fit in at the age of 18 either. People 18, they're just in the middle of high school, college, whatever. They're not ready to get married. So the Pashtus is that the only when it's possible, when it's meaningful to fit in to his program in life. You're not mechuyev to get married and have children if it's going to upset your whole plan for your life. We mentioned a couple of months ago, I think, the Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. So the first Shuvah that he has in Chelek Ebenezer is about boys learning in the yeshiva. He's learning very nicely, and they suggested a shidduch to him. And it's good, he can marry the girl he's ready to marry now. But he thinks that if he'll learn another couple of years, he will be so much more successful in learning, he'll be able to get even a better shidduch than what they're suggesting now. Is he permitted to postpone a few years in order, because he's learning, and he'll get a better shidduch then? So he says it's not permissible because there's a consideration of chashina lemisa. You don't know how long you're going to live. Maybe you're going to die before you have... before you'll get the shidduch. So the Gemara has on the first daf in Yuma, first Mishnah has that you have to prepare another kain gadol in case the kain gadol dies. You have to prepare another wife in case the kain gadol, Mrs. kain gadol dies. You have to ish acheres maskin aloi. Then the Mishnah says, so maybe the second wife will also die. En ledovasof. So how much chashina lemisa? So Tosfos says there, chashina lemisa. There's mam meruba. There's mam on erev Yom Kippur. The wife is healthy. You're afraid the kangaroo is going to drop that? The kangaroo is healthy, his wife is healthy. So you don't have to be chashina lemisa overnight. But chashina lemisa, there's mamruba, then it is. How much is mamruba? How many years is mamruba? So the mamshik has a tshuva, he comes up with 30 days. He thinks 30 days is mamruba. So he says it's not right. It doesn't make sense if the guy is not prepared to get married, he's not ready to get married. You don't say, go have children without getting married. That's ridiculous. You have to wait till you get married. You have to pick the right girl. What are you going to get married? Then get divorced. It doesn't make any sense. So you wait till he gets married. So he already got married. He has the right girl. But he'd like to postpone. He's busy, whatever, doing a research on something, whatever, graduate school. So that right to postpone. He already has the right wife. And then he can afford to have children and so on. So the question is, chashina lemisa. So he thinks that it's not right to postpone 30 days. Chashina lemisa, there's man beruba. The Chazon Ish has a sefer on Negoim, on Mishnayis Negoim. So he points out that you have in Mishnayis Negoim a concept that sometimes there are weird cases. Let's say the Mishnah says the father should really perform the bris milah early in the morning on the eighth day because Riz Magdim LeMitzvah, but he has all day long. If he does the milah later in the day, it's also good. The Prim Godim says if you wait till after Chatzais, then you violated Zviz Magdim LeMitzvahs. So you violated, but still, you fulfilled the mitzvah. You violated Zviz Magdim. So sometimes if you say if a person postpones, he has a whole lifetime ahead to fulfill the mitzvah. Sometimes you say if he postpones it, he's considered as if he's Mevatel LeMitzvah, even though he does the mitzvah tomorrow. For example, a bris milah. So we had the Gemara on the Av Chavtes. The father should see to it that his son has a bris on the eighth day. What if the father didn't see to it, and the bezin didn't see to it, and the kid is by mitzvah now, and he doesn't bother till he's 20 years old? So some rishonim are of the opinion, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and the Rambam on the right, but some rishonim are of the opinion that if the child postpones one day, unnecessarily, he's already mevatel mitzvah bris milah, and he's chayv kares, even though he does the bris milah tomorrow. He's already chayv kares. Because the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Krisis, discusses the possibility that maybe one who postponed taking care of his own bris, the father doesn't do a bris on his baby, the father's not chayv kares. But if the child doesn't take care of his own bris, then he's chayv kares. So when is he chayv kares? He'll do the bris tomorrow. Tomorrow he'll do the bris tomorrow. So when is he going to be chayv kares? So some Rishonim say, if he dies never having taken care of the bris milah, then he's chayv kares. Kares can be punished in other mabo also. And others say, no, kares is boi lamazeh. The Mishnah discussed, and maybe he's chayv achatos. It says in Nochi of Chatos, because he didn't violate anything Bikum Yasei, he only violated Bishay V'Altas. How can he be Chayv Kores during his lifetime? So they say, if you postpone one day, it's already considered bitla mitzvah. So the Chazon Ish discusses which mitzvahs do you say like that, that if you postpone, you don't do it at the first available opportunity, you are mevatla mitzvah, even though you did the mitzvah a month later, or a year later, 5 years later. So he says, maybe we distinguish that some mitzvahs are more important than others, and maybe in the more important mitzvahs, if you postpone a little bit, it's already a bitla mitzvah. So that could well be that pirvei rivya is from the more important mitzvahs.
The Rambam seems to address that point in the different lashonos he uses. Sometimes he talks of the bitla mitzvah, and sometimes he uses the lashon of mevatla mitzvah with a mem. And it seems to correspond that when the Rambam says bitla mitzvah, that then it's once. There's no bitla postponement. You mevatla it once, but the lashon of mevatla seems to be your mevatla mitzvah when you postpone it.
Hmm. So that's what the Chazon Ish raises a topic. You have the Mishnah in the Goyim that if a person has a negat zarach on his body, he's supposed to go to the Kohen immediately. Unless it's Yantav, unless it's Shivas Yimei Mishnah, they just got married, then he's allowed to postpone. Otherwise, if he's going to postpone, we ask the Goyim, it's considered as if he's Mevatla Mitzvah. Why is Mevatla Mitzvah? He's going to go tomorrow. He's going to go next week. So it seems that this is such an important mitzvah. By the more important mitzvah, we say if you postpone, it's called Bitla Mitzvah. You just... Even though you've got to take care of the mitzvah later, it's considered as if he's malam.
Chayv Karis, even though later he does it.
Some Rishonim hold, it's Chayv Karis, even though he fulfills it later. Yeah, because it's considered as if he had been mevatel mitzvah. It's a big chiddush, yeah. There used to be a couple here in the neighborhood. They were both going to graduate school. They didn't have any children. And then they moved away. They moved to Muncie. And as long as they lived there, people didn't know this story. After they moved to Muncie, somehow this story came out, that they both decided they wanted to postpone having children until after they finished their graduate work. And then after they finished the graduate work, they both had their degrees. Then they tried to have children, weren't able to. They tried for a while. Then they went to a fertility doctor. So the doctor told them that this was a very rare situation. The wife's body was allergic to the husband's sperm. That's a chiddush. The body usually rejects any foreign matter. And the one exception to the rule is when a couple is married, the wife's body doesn't reject the zera habal. And the doctors consider this a miracle. That's also a foreign body. So how come it doesn't reject it? That's what the Ravid writes in the Hakdama to the Balei HaNefesh. Why did the Rabbanu Shalom create Chava etzem me'atzom ra'basim ibsori? Why did he have to? Why didn't he create like all the other behemoths? Azorcha nekeva. He didn't create an akeva, he took the akeva from the... So the Ravid writes that the body has a natural tendency to reject foreign matter, and if Chava wouldn't have been created from Adam Rishon, there wouldn't be an institution of marriage. By Behemoth, there is no institution of marriage. Every day they mate with a different akeva. But by human beings, the Baruch Shalom wanted that they should blend in together, b'hoyel b'osar echot. So that's why, that's what the rabbi writes, that's why they had to have, Chava was created from Adam Rishon. So that's what the doctor said in their case, that if they would have tried to have children earlier when they first got married, they probably would have been able to have children. But because they waited a few years, so that's why they're never going to be able to have children. So when people ask me about postponing having children, I tell them this story. This is a very rare case, very rare that the wife's body is allergic to the Zera Habam. But if the Rebbe Shalom wants to give you a gift, so you say, thank you, and you take the gift. You don't say, I'll come back in 5 years and I'll take the gift. You get married, you have children, so you should try to have children right away. Very good, so we should all try to fulfill the mitzvah of Pirei Rivya. Tomorrow, Billy Netta will discuss Psuli Kohel and Psuli Kahuna. Okay.
Why do I say that when it comes to getting married, it doesn't fit into a person's life plan, so you can push off getting married, but in terms of having children... Also, if it doesn't fit into a person's life plan because they're in graduate school or because it's not going to work out, why doesn't the same agdara apply?
So it could be that it does. It's unclear. Mara says, Lil Matari allowed to postpone. So it could be because it doesn't fit in with his programs. It could be in graduate school also. It's not so clear. But we usually say, that's what parents are for. That's what the grandparents are for, to help out. The grandparents, they can both go to graduate school, and the grandparents will babysit, and they'll help out monetarily, even though they're not making any money.
So if the children
are
children,
it's considered that they were going to have a period of review,
right? But if the person had only boys with girls and then the grandchildren had boys and girls,
it was no good.
So that's a little bit strange.
Yeah, yeah.
Reading the Ksuba